see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus, Bible study for tonight. Tonight, we'll see how far we go tonight. We've got an unusual kind of study tonight, maybe. Is it unusual? What we're going to talk about tonight, is who the father of Cain. Now, you think, well, gosh, we already know that. No, apparently not. I'm getting hit quite a bit that it's hard. I mean, significant. It's massive, actually. That Satan is the father of Cain. This is by coming at me from many different directions and from significant theologians, high level. They're trying like the Dickens to show that Satan was the father of Cain. Now, some of you already know that that's not even possible. And the Bible even confirms that Adam was the father of Cain and Abel. The Bible says so, but they try their best to discredit the Bible in any conceivable way possible. And this is just one of many. So I want to show tonight about who the father of Cain was, or from another source. Adam, or from another source. Almost sounds silly, don't it? But when I mean significant, I'm not talking about a couple of churches here and there, a couple of religions or a sect of Christianity. I'm talking about movements, major movements. Hebrew roots movements, sacred name movements. gosh, Christian identity. They want to say that the offspring of Cain even survived the flood. They want to say that the daughters-in-law of Noah had Nephilim blood in them. They want to say that Cain was of Satan and that the mark, see, this is the tricky part. Now I'm going to tell you the tricky part and why they really want to do it. Especially your SDA, these guys, Seventh-day Adventists and others, because they say the mark of Cain was, he turned him to be a minority, a black. See, that's the part of it that they want to sneak in there. And then he survived. His family survived. Therefore, it gave rise to the minorities that we have today. It was through Cain, the mark. And his father was Satan. Now you got the connection? Oh, they're tricky. They are so tricky. That's why, that's the real reason why they're pushing it. It's a racial issue. These people are so devious and evil, they will change the word of God just to match their one-sided, bigoted type of attitudes and directions and agendas. And that's the real reason why. And the other bigoted part of it is they say that the first Genesis 1 was the creation of the Gentiles. And Genesis 2, second chapter of Genesis, was creation of all the Jews. Also a separation. And the third one's cursed, not Gentiles. Man, you talking tap dancing? Goodness gracious alive. And these are significant players, major colleges and theologians that come up with this, not off-the-wall corners. I try to do this. Let's dedicate the broadcast, and I'll give you all something to think about, and hopefully some ammunition. Then you make up your own mind. And do your own research. But this is very significant, because it ties in with the racial card. And how they're brainwashing those in Christian identity, brainwashing other white groups into feeling superior. If they feel superior, then they can help foment the division between the blacks and whites, Hispanics and Chinese and whatever else. And I found also, well, they have, you know, you have the 11 most shocking thing, whatever it is. Well, I found one where it says 11 most shocking characters of Walt Disney. That it shows racial division. Of course, that's not surprising since Walt Disney was Illuminati, a Satanist, and an extreme pedophile. That wouldn't be surprising at all. That's the industry of Walt Disney. Specifically, that's the only purpose of Walt Disneyland and the talking monkeys and the talking little mouses and the talking whatever. For sexual perversion, control of children, just like the Boy Scouts at a certain level. Family, everything I'm telling you is truth. I'm not going over the edge on this. I'm not exaggerating or anything like that. This is exactly right. It's everywhere. This is Satan's prince of this world. I mean, what do people expect? You think that Satan just lays back and flies around on a broomstick and just decides to dive bomb somebody here and there and say, oh, I just think I'll demonize him a while. No. Man, he controls this world as allowed by God because it's sinful. So when Jesus Christ comes back, it's a total takeover by Jesus. There is no Satan anywhere. It'll be a completely different core education from the day they come back from protection of the hills in Jerusalem. They'll start the mankind all over again. Because there'll be such a decimation of mankind on this earth after the tribulations that they'll start again just like they did after the flood. But the core education, the core upbringing, or the core evolution will be Jesus in the lead, not Satan. And the seven ways they control mankind, that'll no longer exist. sin will be because man will be mortal. But he'll have saints with him that were rewarded in the judgment seat of Christ. Return with him. Jesus returns in the clouds with his saints to rule. So there'll still be mankind that's mortal for 1,000 years to start the human race all over again. Anyway, let's dedicate the broadcast and talk about old Seth and Cain. Did I say Seth? Cain, father of Cain. Huh. Okay. Seth was a replacement for Abel. Cain is the one that they say is the son of Satan and Eve. I shouldn't even have to even be talking about it, but this is very, very significant to prove that Cain is linked to the minorities. That's their undercurrent. Their devious agenda is the racial card. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, we thank you for being able to come together. Dedicate this Bible study to you, Lord, and your service. Father, I pray you lead us tonight. Guide us with your Holy Spirit. Forgive us of our sins if we lay them before you on the cross. To give us discernment and wisdom, Lord, to be able to read your Bible, read this Bible, and understand that which is contained within. We pray for our brethren today. We lift them up again to you, Lord, for protection, so they'll be able to finish their work, be protected by the blood of Jesus, and comfort them in their time of need and sorrow and healing. Father, we pray tonight, we pray for this week, that Father, you'll give us discernment and wisdom to cut through these deceptions that's coming our way. And Father, when the time comes to speak, you give us the words to speak your name and to speak the true gospel. All these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to hit several areas tonight in this one paper I did. I'm going to use that because I killed two birds with one stone. I should have called this Septuagint and Cain, not Seth. I got Seth in my mind today for some reason. First of all, the first lie sounds negative, don't it? But family, that's what's going on. The preachers today are only talking about all the little goody things. They're not telling you the things to watch out for. They're not telling you about the minefields. They're telling you about the victory that hadn't been achieved yet. Except Jesus achieved already, but we got a ways to go before we join in on that. His win at the cross gives us salvation. But family, we still got to go through tribulations. And where the rapture is, I'm not even going to get into that. That's another story. Nobody really knows anyway. There's no need to even discussing it. Just know that you're going to be protected at some point away from his wrath. We don't even know when the tribulations are coming. Much less the rapture. You can't have one without the other. I'm going to give you some ammunition tonight for your study. You might want to pay close attention and write things down if you want, or go back to this Bible study for various reasons. You'll see why. First thing they're trying to is discredit the Bible in every which way they can. You ever had a, well, I don't wear a hose. I wear socks. But anyway, you say a woman's got a pair of hose or a man's got a pair of socks. And, you know, Cletus down here, down south in South Carolina and North Carolina and down in Georgia. And old Cletus there has got a pair of socks there, you know, and he has his string hanging off. Or Maybelle, she's got a pair of pantyhose. It's got a little string hanging off. So they just say, well, I think I'll just pull that off. They keep pulling, keep pulling, keep pulling, keep pulling. And what does it do? Unless you cut that darn thing, it's going to unravel your sock or take a pair of your pantyhose. You see. So you got to cut it right then, right there. Cut that string. Okay. Well, family, that's how they want to do the King James Bible. If they could find one little remnant in that Bible, one thing that's going to be contradictory or a falsehood or a false statement or something, then it opens up a whole Pandora's box. There's one, there's more. There's not one in the entire King James Bible. If there was, they'd have found it already by now. But number two, they haven't found it. See? But they're trying so hard to find at least one thing opposite, contradictory in that Bible to undo the whole Bible. Then they opened up for interpretation in the wrong direction. The Bible's explicit. It's subjective. It's not objective. It's objective. It's clear. It's distinct. It's final. The final authority. Subjective. First of all, they want to cover the Greek Septuagint. That keeps popping up. Even Baptist ministers, even Presbyterian. Oh, we have older versions. What's that? They start referring to Origen's Septuagint. And that Paul copied the Septuagint. Oh. That Jesus quoted the Septuagint. It goes in the B.C. 150 Deuteronomy. It's all they had. Well, I got news for them. Before the Septuagint was put together by Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N, a Greek philosopher in Alexandria, Egypt, the Alexandria schools, Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N, he used partially old manuscripts that were not even complete. And Origen, a Greek philosopher, made up a strange Greek Bible in the 3rd century, 250, 280 something. He pasted together his own corrupted version of the scrolls he received from Antioch, his own Greek Old Testament, mixed with some folk tales in it, like a mulligan stew, and called it the Apocrypha. Then he added his own perverted New Testament. To dress it up, he inserted New Testament verses into Old Testament passages. So, they put parts of Paul's writings and placed it in the Psalms. Gives a deception that Paul quoted the Origen's Greek Old Testament. And the idea of the Alexandrian schools in Egypt is that the apostles and Jesus quoted Origen's Old Testament junk. That made his book look ancient, gave it authority. He also added other books. He added throughout the folk tales contained in the Apocrypha. Westcott and Hort. No, 1610 is after. 1610. Two of the Jesuits that had infiltrated into the King James 47 translators, they walked the straight and narrow because King James had overwatchers of all three locations. So they, and the scriptures, the verses, the chapters, went over 14 times. Hey, you see? So there's really no way the Jesuits could corrupt the scriptures. So the final thrust they did, though, that did succeed was convincing the final approval that they should include the historical background and connect the Old Testament, New Testament by inserting the Apocrypha in the middle of the King James Bible. They succeeded at that. However, in 1885 time frame, they said, what's this doing here? Get it out. And so 1885, in a new edition, 1885 thereabouts, the Apocrypha was finally removed. But it was never interspersed within the Bible itself. They just listed it as the Apocrypha, as kind of a pamphlet in the middle to connect the two testaments. And later removed. So Satan had used Origen to make the first counterfeit Bible. Added, removed, whatever he wanted, since he wasn't a Christian anyway. And Origen was not a true scholar because, according to history, he's not good at all in Hebrew, and Greek was easier to learn. So his final product was to put his Old Testament and the Apocrypha together and called it the Ancient Septuagint. Satan and his minions are clever. So, according to history, the modified Old Testament was made up of folk tales called the Apocrypha, together with perverted New Testament, became Origen's Alexandrian Library. And this abomination of the Bible of sort plays a big role in the 20th and 21st century today. So Origen died in the 3rd century, 254 A.D., he's kicked out of the schools anyway. He taught from 2004 A.D. to 230 A.D. Did not fare too well there for whatever reason. And after they kicked him out of his teaching, he moved to Caesarea. He's caught up in the Diocletian persecution of the year 250 A.D. and tortured. He's released. And as I said, he died of his wounds in 254 A.D. He is not a real church father, but later the Roman Catholic Church brought him in as a saint to justify the acceptance of his writings. His counterfeit Bible was copied by other scholars, and as I said many times before, when I talked about Constantine, before Eusebius, he went to the Alexandria schools and brought 50 Bibles of his corrupt Bibles. Passed them to the first pope. Then called the Summus Pontifex, later be called the Pope. Constantine, 325 A.D. Now, in addition, the scholars, if you want to call them that, of Alexandria, they wrote 3 biblical perversions from this. And Simocatus in about 350 A.D., the Vaticanus before 400 A.D., and Alexandrius, about 450 A.D. Alexandrius, it's confusing. Hard to pronounce these words sometimes. And the so-called scholarly Bible disagrees 3,000 times in the 4 Gospels alone. They're false witnesses. King James Bible stands alone. And the 40 authors of the King James Bible, this has nothing to do with the Septuagint or the folk tales of the Apocrypha. The 40 authors were inspired by God, and Jesus, Holy Spirit, 1 John 5:7 confirms that these 3 are one. The King James Bible goes by the Masoretic texts, as the book of Isaiah that was read 1947 time frame, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, confirms that they used the correct scriptures of the Isaiah. The other books were Gnostic and a conglomeration of other type writings, but the Isaiah was a copy of the old Isaiah. It matched exactly the Isaiah in the Old Testament. The translators of King James also decided to use the first 5 books of the Torah, which is the Masoretic text, came from Moses, who was given to God by God himself. And they found the book of Isaiah was from the Masoretic text. That's about all it proved in the Dead Sea Scrolls and nothing else. So I want to just drop that off because they're using this also to try to discredit the Bible. Now, O Cain here. Was disobedient to God. The people try to say, well, what if Cain just wanted to go ahead and do it his way? They try to argue this point. Maybe Cain just thought that his work, since he was a tiller of the ground, that his work would be good enough. Because it wasn't his choice. He didn't have a choice. And when he made the wrong choice, when you disobey God, even on a small scale, that's not good. That's bad. Moses found out. He'll punish you. I mean, I don't see why it's a surprise. Could it be because today things are so lenient? Oh, and by the way, don't forget, God's got a sense of humor. God and I, we understand each other, don't we, God? Wink, wink. I don't think so. See, that's where we get off on saying that, you know, that God's understanding. The animal slain for Adam and Eve, the Bible says the first man, Adam, was created by God, and God created a wife for Adam, and her name was Eve. Bible says that Adam here and Eve were created in the image of God. And here's something even more wonderful. They were created in such a way God himself could dwell in their hearts. He called them to himself. Well, the Savior is not there yet. They sinned. Satan tempted Eve. Eve, Adam, both sinned. Blocked them off from God, both of them. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they did not need clothing, and they were clothed with God's glory, his light. And if they had sinned, the glory and light was gone. And the Bible said the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. Genesis 3:7. Yeah. I always wondered that maybe the aprons and the Freemasons signified this. The aprons of fig leaves, which Adam and Eve made for themselves, were not acceptable to God. So the Bible said that God clothed them with the coats of skin. So that means that God had to kill animals, innocent animals, to provide the cloaks, the coats for skins for Adam and Eve. Hand of God slain the animals. God taught Adam and Eve that something had to die for sin. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22. That shows us how terrible sin is in God's eyes. So the offerings of Cain and Abel come into play here. God accepted Cain's offering because Abel's offering because Abel obeyed him and offered a lamb, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for our sins yet to happen. But God rejected Cain's offering because Cain did not obey him. Instead of offering a lamb as a sacrifice for his sins, Cain did what he thought was right, but God didn't accept that. So why did he do that, the Passover lamb? Matter of fact, didn't even give him the best of his crops either. He brought some of his fruits. They've been growing. His own sacrifice. His own choice. So, it went very badly. Now, God put a curse on him after he had killed Abel. We know about that, to fast forward through it. And God cursed him. Why was Cain that way? Well, after he's thrown out of the circle like Ishmael was with Hagar and Abraham, and Cain was cursed. Don't forget the mark is placed on him, as was Ham. Ham was had a place cursed on him. Ham did not uncover his father's nakedness. He saw his father's nakedness. Seeing and uncovering is two different things. Seeing is sin. It's a disrespect to your parents when you don't cover them. And besides that, he made fun of his father with the other brothers. Instead of covering his father up, and that's when, Noah had heard about it and cursed him, cursed Cana, Cush, his second generation. It wasn't that Ham uncovered his father's nakedness, he saw it. Uncovering would mean he would make love with his mother. It was a sexual thing. But that's not what the scripture says. He says he saw his father's nakedness. They try to make something out of it. That Ham saw his father's naked there and just jumped on him, you understand? Or he slept with his mother. They try to pull that remnant out again. That's not it at all. Respect the parents. That's in the Ten Commandments. Just seeing his father's nakedness, people can't believe that that would be such a bad thing. But it was back then. Very bad. So he was disinherited as the first son. Seth inherited because he's the only obedient and righteous son after Abel. Right of birth, it got nothing to do with it. If you're cursed, you're banished. Done. They try to say that Cain had first right, but he didn't because he was cursed. You see, people forget that. Then they say that Seth was replacement. No, Seth means appointed. Now, here comes to the nitty-gritty. The nitty-gritty in the King James Bible, word for word, is clear. In those days, to know someone, you know, the old word to know used to love you, right? Well, they put a whole new meaning to that word. To know someone is to have sexual intercourse with them back in those days. It clearly says, Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived, and there came Cain. She saw his sexual organs, Cain, because he's a baby come out of her. She saw that, oh, he's a man. She didn't say boy, child, in that silly mess. She called him a man. Genesis 4:1. And this is a trick they're trying to pull on you. They'll say, and they're using this, and they really expound on it. Quote, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, unquote. And Genesis 4:2, it says, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now they're trying to say that they were born at the same time. That they were fraternal twins. That Satan conceived Eve in the same day in the garden. That the taking the fruit was sex. And that Satan beguiled Eve, in other words, seduced her, had sex with her. And then she went to Adam and said, Adam, you want to know what I learned? But they already knew that. He told them to go forth and multiply, didn't he? But she goes to Adam and they have sex too. These are high level people talking about this. It's not something some cult group comes up with. This is high level. And that she got pregnant twice in one day. And the king came out first, and here comes Abel right behind him. That's another thing they're trying to pass off here. Man, they got all kinds of different directions they go with this thing. But it's clear as a bell, Genesis 4:1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Basic birds and bees. Adam knew Eve, his wife. He conceived, bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. There he is. He's got a man's genitals. That's a man right there. Where'd it come from? From the Lord. It's my first one. The Lord gave me a baby. How many times do you hear a woman say that? You see? It comes from God. Cain, whatever reason, turned evil, rebellious, and Abel was obedient. I tend to think that Satan was on the move here to find the weaker one of the bunch. Therefore, because Cain was disobedient, Abel would rule over him, and Cain didn't like that idea. And so he murdered his brother instead of making things right by giving Abel some fruits and all this for one of his lambs he could use. He didn't do that. Theologians agree that the word man in Genesis 4:1 is not Strong's 376 definition, but better translated is Strong's 582 definition, if you've got a Strong. And they try to say that 376 is about a man. They try to say it's a creature. A creature being Nephilim. Offspring of Satan and Eve, like the daughters of man, 6:2, 6:4. Well, before that was Satan who had sex with Eve, created a Nephilim, a creature. So they try to use 376 and Strong's to show about a creature. But it ain't so. Now in 4:17, O'Kane's getting in on the act. In Genesis 4:17, here you go. And Cain knew his wife. Maybe met her through harmony.com. I don't know. Cain knew his wife and she conceived. Well, there you go again. Every time somebody knows somebody, they're having a darn baby. Seems like something's going on, don't you? Cain knew his wife, she conceived, and bare Enoch. Well, there he is. That's the first Enoch. Not the one in the bloodline of Noah. Two Enochs in the Bible. And he built the city and named the city after the name of his son, Enoch. So Cain's cursed. Cain brought either a niece, has a sister, younger niece, cousin, whatever. That's where she had come from. Because remember, they've been reproducing here for a while. Cain knew his wife, who had been a relative by then. She conceived, there you go, and had Enoch. And Enoch and Cain built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And then it goes to talk about Cain's bloodline. And what happens to his bloodline? His bloodline dies, man. Every one of them, except for eight people, live off the flood. Noah, wife, three sons, three wives. Nobody hung on to the ark. People didn't hide in the caves and find a air hole. Everything died on the earth. Entire earth is one land, too. Well, Genesis 4:25, and here you go again. Adam knew his wife. Again, How many times can you know your wife when you introduce one time? So that certainly is not getting to know her. It's not a second wife either. So Adam knew his wife. So it's not referring to knowing her as his name, but making love to her, having sex with her. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also was born a son. He called his name Enos. Then beget men to call upon the name of the Lord. From that point on, they had all kinds of other siblings. So it took them, goodness, Adam was 130 years old before he finally found one that was righteous with God. Pooh. And from then on, the righteous line began. Seth, Enos, Cana, Mahiel, Jared, Enoch, the real Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. The flood. Here come the flood. Here come the flood. And that wiped out everything. So family, the point of the matter is, when you know somebody back then, they have a baby. And in Genesis 4:1, it clearly says, that Adam knew his wife. Don't say nothing about Satan at all. To know you is have intercourse with you back then. And that's how that worked out. As a matter of fact, let's go back, and I'm going to stop there. Genesis 4:1, we got 4:25, we got about to know you. Knew his wife again. Let's go to Genesis 9:24. In Genesis 9:24, and Noah woke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Cana, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. And that's where he found out that his son did not cover him when he was naked after he got drunk. That highly ticked him off. Genesis 19:5. And they came unto Lot and said to them, where are the men which come in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Sodom and Gomorrah. Talking about those angels. Man, you don't mess with God's angels. That we may know them. And let me tell you, they weren't talking about introductions here. To know them is to have sex with them. It was Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 38:26. If you go there, and Judah acknowledged them and said, she hath been more righteous than I, because I gave her not to Shelah my son, and he knew her again no more. So it wasn't messing around anymore sexually. Judges 11:39. In Judges 11:39, and it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. It was a custom in Israel. A virgin. She knew no man. Judges 19:25. You know, how much more do they need to prove the no part? But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine, brought her forth unto them, and they knew her. That word is again. And abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Well, there you go. And Matthew 1:25. What's that one? Then Joseph, being raised from sheep, as did the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Family, that's clear slam dunk. So you'll wrap back to Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. They had sex. Ain't no Satan there anywhere. And she conceived. Well, there is the evidence. And bare Cain. And there is the name. And said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now they try to say I've gotten is the same as knowing them. So that's when they come in the know part. So she got herself an angel, baby. No. She got a man that the Lord gave her at birth. Was a man child named Cain. Remember, don't let them fool you. That's what they're after, is to try to find that remnant to confuse people so they can then continue on with discrediting the Bible once they got a hangnail. You like my use of words these days? It's a southern way, I guess, called hyperbole. But this is very significant because they're trying to tell you too, especially Arnold Murray and Shepherd's Chapel and others, that there's a pre-Adamic race, a race of man before Adam, even before the creation of the earth as we know it, that destroyed itself, leaving the universe desolate for God to start all over again. Oh, they got it all worked out. And that we, human beings today, are really angels. That's what Arnold Murray believes, teaching his flock. They were all angels. Man, I'll tell you, I've never been an angel. A lot of people that know me will verify that. But that we're all angels that give an opportunity to go step up by becoming human, tested, trials, and later become a greater angel or something. I don't know. That we're all angels, former angels. No. We're told to rightly divide the word of truth, which means we cannot disregard the majority of references written down on any given subject, even though we belong to a sect, a religion, or we love our preacher. It don't matter. All that doesn't make a bit of difference. There are those who have adopted this cultic interpretation of the fall of Adam and Eve in Genesis. Satan is the cause of the fall by intercourse with Eve, which resulted in Cain being the offspring of Eve. Thus, the eating of the fruit of the tree is symbolic in its meaning. That wasn't really a fruit, but it was having sex in the Garden of Eden. And what I've just done is shown you that's not the case at all, whatsoever. Now, did the fallen angels had sex with the daughters of man? Yes. Genesis 6:2-6:4. Sons of God were the fallen angels. And they had the physical bodies. But angels can't marry in heaven. That's right, they're supernatural, but not on earth. On earth they were physical. Very physical. Job 38:7 talks about the sons of God were the fallen angels. Or the angels, the watchers. And you also find this type of interpretation is in the New Age movement and other type cults. The Bible makes it clear that the fallen man came from eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge. It had nothing to do with intercourse Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. Eating of the fruit was just the disobedience. It wasn't the contents of the fruit that made them smarter. It's simply the act of disobedience. But God had to put it there to exercise their free will, to give them a gospel. That's their first gospel. And they try to say in Genesis 3:1, this is the way Satan works. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So now we have a literal snake. Clever. He didn't come as an angel. He came as a snake because Adam and Eve were used to talking to these animals or something or another. Well, demonic entities can connect with them. It's a body that the demons use. And the words that really get him, he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you should not eat of every tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree is in the midst of the garden. God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall touch it, lest ye die." So she knew. Serpent said to the woman, "You shall not die. You won't surely die. Come on." It's like, come on. Take this whiff. Come on. Meet me later. Come on. Get this shot right here. It's really good stuff, man. Come on now. Is that what they told you? Nah. That's all through Satan. He hadn't changed a lick, has he? That's where the alcohol, the drugs, reduce your ability to control. Lust is also intoxicating. Satan's appeal was that the tree, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil is what makes God who he is. And if she eats from the tree, she too will have the knowledge will make her like God. She'll be like a god. He convinced her not to believe in the penalty, which is death. Genesis 3:2-2. Genesis 3:2-2 is a secret number of the Illuminati, skull and bones, about man having eternal life and being like a god. That's always been the carrot that brought men into sin. Freemasons are believing that they are the new saints coming down, that their knowledge, their good deeds, and all that is going to get them over. So the serpent called the woman's attention to the tree, not himself. His appeal was that the knowledge of the good and evil is what makes God who he is. And we want to be gods, right? Doesn't Joyce Myers and Copeland and the rest of them say we're like gods? Well, they don't tell you the whole story. Yes, it says we are like gods. Yeah, administrators of justice, judges, police, law enforcement. To administer justice when you sin, the justice system is to match the Bible. You start changing that, you start changing the laws of the land, you're in a whole heap of trouble. Bible's consistent in the use of its words tree, fruit, and eating. Those who don't have hidden meanings, they represent what the words say. What some people try to do is make this literal event even symbolic, non-literal. Bible says it's literal. She said the fruit was good for food. The trees did have fruit, and what she ate is what Eve gave to her husband to eat. Her seeing the fruit, touching the fruit did not bring death, but eating it did. Says she fell into deception, not adultery. They both ate. They both had the same effect on them. It was shared. So if one's going to say Eve eating the tree was a sexual in nature, that needs to be applied to Adam as well. Yet they kind of skip over that. So to study yourself approved. is to study and not be beguiled by these cult groups that try to convince you otherwise with what they try to do. You know, we're already almost at the end of the 1 hour. You know, they also try to say that Eve was deceived and she committed adultery. That's the other little thing they try to throw in there. That was the first marriage. She committed sin, therefore is adulterous. What? It's amazing what they come at you with. The only falling away, is when disclosure happens. No matter what they do before, now we've got a real problem. A lot of Christians are going to do that. A lot of Christians are going to fall away when they have disclosure, this alien thing going on. I don't know when they're going to pop off with this one. But y'all be ready. For, you know, it'll happen in one day. It'll all take place in one afternoon, in one day. Things, everything will change. But they can't make a move. They can't make a move until God allows it. Why would God allow it? Because we pull away from Him. Same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. Same thing with the flood. He reaches a certain point of tolerance. No more chance. He cuts it. Satan is more than happy to oblige. But everything he does is leading him directly to the judgment that's coming, yet to come. Well, family, I wanted to cover that part and give you something to go on, because this is very significantly coming out on the YouTube and the Facebooks, people making comments about it. High level, too. Cain is the son of Satan. And somehow his offspring lasted to the flood and gave rise to minorities. See, it's all about a racial connection that they're not telling people they connected that way to convince their followers to be racially discriminatory. They want a race war. They'll try every which way. This is all connected. It's all connected. About giving one culture superiority over another. And by doing that, you give the other one pride. And you got two prideful ones, and boom, you got yourself a conflict. Which people get tired of conflict after a while. So therefore, let's all get together and cook marshmallows around the campfire. And let's call it the New World Order. Order out of chaos. They create the chaos, brings the order to subjugate. That's how it works. Well, family, y'all have a good night tonight. And we'll be back tomorrow, Bible study of 8 to 9, of course, and the broadcast 4 to 6. We'll hit a lot of details tomorrow, I hope. Interesting articles just came out this afternoon, too, of some moves they're making. Let y'all know we're played up at HighPointRadio.net randomly. John Kirkler. And he's a friend. And John Kirkler plays our broadcasts and my Bible studies, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has sponsors there, and I understand that people have been using them. And donations, I don't know, something like that. Anyway, it's been working for him. And he's able to really increase his output. For me, he just plays my broadcast and Bible studies. That's it. And I appreciate that. Also, my website, watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And family, I thank you all for coming by tonight. And y'all have a good night tonight. And we'll see y'all tomorrow, 4 to 6. Sleep well. God bless. And we'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Houston. I am with you every day.